Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word-powered daily reading Bible guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this encore broadcast, Darren and I rejoice with you that the new year is here. There are so many things that you can prepare in your hearts to do in this very exciting year. One very important thing is to make Bible reading and study a priority in your daily walk. Also, it is important to give God the first fruits of all that you earn, the tithe, because God gives back 30, 60, and 100-fold when you give. But you have to give into the kingdom to get God's best and His rewards. Talking about it will not do it, brothers and sisters. You must put actions to your promises. Darren and I talk about rich and godly music and letting that surround you and give you joy. Why don't you make the joy that God gives you overflow into the lives of your friends and loved ones this year? Happy New Year. Let's join the program.
That is so cool. I love that song. And I remember Saturday at the meeting when we sang Deck the Halls and Come On Ring Those Bells, and I had the people take their key chains out. And it was really fun. It sounded like bells. And what is so interesting, Yeah. If I got mine out, it would. What's so interesting is I was wondering how I could get bells. If I needed to go to Walgreens and buy some bells and just put them on that one bell thing on the table and have one person do it. And I was rounding a corner of the street. I was thinking about this in my mind and planning and saying, now what shall I do about that to get some bell sounds? And I heard this jingling behind me. And I looked behind and this girl had on her belt her keys, and they were jangling as she walked. And it was, I know some of you will say, Holy Spirit doesn't tell you things like that, but I really believe that He prepared my heart for this woman to be walking behind me with this jingling the moment I was thinking about the bells for the meeting, and He gave me that idea. The Holy Spirit's so creative.
Well, I'll tell you, you think about things like that. You know, I went back to my brother-in-law's funeral here. In fact, I flew back Sunday, and I came back
Tuesday.
But you know, Kansas City was closed down. It was iced in. There was an awful lot of ice in St. Louis where I was. In fact, I went early to St. Louis just to make sure I get close to the airport. And then St. Louis couldn't fly to Kansas City. So I said to the airline, okay, how are you going to get me home? They says, well, you got two choices. You can fly through Chicago or through Dallas. Well, I'd been watching the weather, and I didn't want to go to Chicago. I might get iced in there. So
go south where it's warm.
Dallas. Now, here's the deal. On the way down to Dallas, it was cloud cover all the way, heavy clouds. And we were flying in the clouds all the way. Mm. And I thought to myself, I hope those pilots know what they're doing up there. And then I thought, you know, they're flying by instruments. They've got to be, because you can't see anything.
That's right.
Well, and then as we got close to the ground, then all of a sudden you could see the ground. But I just thought, you know, that's an example of faith. I'm sitting back here in the plane. I am believing the plane's going to hold together. I'm believing it's not going to crash. I'm believing they're going to, you know, line up with the runway and get the thing on the ground and let me out.
Mm-hmm.
And all of that was a matter of faith, you know. And I'm having faith in somebody I've never met. I don't know if they're well-trained, highly trained, sober. I don't know that. I didn't meet them. I didn't see what they look like, you know.
But first of all, you're a child of the Most High God.
Right.
So your faith in Him, even in the instance if there had been something happen, you would have had faith that He would deliver you. Well, just like that guy, I remember that guy on the Canary Islands when everybody was burning up, and he went through a hole in the plane. And he survived.
You know, by his story, people right across the aisle from him, their flesh was burning and falling off of their bones.
Yes.
And but you know, he had an interesting story. All his life, he'd read the Bible.
That's right.
He'd memorized a lot of scripture, and God lifted him up through a hole in the top of the plane, and out he went, and he was safe. Well, I thought on my way down there, I thought, you know, if this thing crashes, if I'm the only survivor, I will survive. I mean, I actually thought, I had thoughts like that. And then I think about one time we were flying into San Antonio, in fact, to go back to my son's commissioning. And, you know, all of a sudden, the flight attendants started running down the aisles and slamming their carts in their position. And then the pilot came on and says, well, we've had a slight problem. We've got to go back to Denver. They can't fix this in San Antonio. Well, the plane lost altitude. We dropped down to about 300 feet above the ground. Barbara said to me, I can't die. I have two daughters.
I was reading as this was happening, exactly where I am right now. I turned to Psalm 95 to talk about songs because I do want to talk about what we talked about yesterday.
But you know, I said to
but
you,
Psalm 94,
if you're with me, you won't die.
No, but more than that. Not just because I'm with you. Psalm 94, verse 19 was what I was reading at that exact moment when the plane fell. I thought it was hundreds of feet. Maybe it wasn't even that.
I think you're right.
But Psalm 94:19 says, when my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul. I was reading that exact scripture when that happened. So I knew that even though my flesh was saying, I can't die, I have two daughters here, that my heart was being given peace by Holy Spirit because of that scripture I was reading. And that's important, Darren. It's so important when we're living in this tactile world that is ruled by the enemy. Satan is the prince of the power of this air, that we are encapsulated in the peace of God that passes all understanding.
Yeah, you know, when it really gets down to it, you have to think thoughts like that. You think, well, you know, even for me to die is to be with the Lord. Instantly, I'd be with the Lord. That isn't all bad out here. That's a wonderful place to go. But, you know, a lot of Christians don't believe that. They don't practice that. Mm-hmm. They're just as afraid of the world.
Yes.
Well, yesterday we had a great phone call from Colorado Springs. A lady had brought up the matter of music in the churches.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you have a musical background. You were a music major in college, and you traveled for several years as a gospel singer. So that's really your deal.
Well, what I'd like to ask you today who are listening is, what kind of music do you have in your church? And are you blessed by the music? And is God exalted by that music in your church? Or is it just a bunch of noise? And I'd like to have your opinion of the churches that you attend, what kind of music they have there. And if it is great music praising and honoring God, or if it is a lot of fleshly music. You know, since that lady who called yesterday brought up the subject, a lot of music today is about me and I. You know, I feel bad, Lord, and you got to help me and bless me, Lord. And, you know, and that's all. I guess that's well and good, except David was the example that we are to follow about praise and worship, Darren. And in Psalm 95, it's a prime example of, oh, come, let us sing for joy unto the Lord. Let us shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. This is true example of praise and worship, how it should be in the church.
Well, I'm not assigned to this earth to attack Rick Warren, but I do have to beg to differ with him on the book that he wrote about expand my borders. And that puts the emphasis on me.
Yes.
Lord, you've got to expand my borders because I have great needs. And
Was that Rick Warren that wrote that book?
It was Rick Warren.
On the Jabez?
Yes.
Oh, really? Okay.
Okay, you want me to start over?
I didn't ever read that book because it was...
Thousands of those books have been sold.
Millions.
But I think, you know, hey, Christians, come on, wake up. We've got to praise the Lord and we got to get out of the flesh. And it's not that everything has to be around me. And some of the songs that I've heard, Barbara, were by a crossover Christian artist. In other words, they started out and they got their start in Christian music, and then they suddenly became secular.
Yes.
And sometimes they're singing songs about, oh, he is so wonderful. I don't know whether they're talking about an earthbound lover or about Jesus. And I think sometimes it's intentionally there to deceive you so that it will fit in either market.
Either market.
Christian market or in a secular market. And I say, now, wait a minute. What's the matter of saying Jesus?
Well, a lot of times it just comes down to money, Darren. Pure and simple. It's money. It's making a profit. And a lot of this music, contemporary music, is very selfish. It doesn't edify and exalt God. But I believe yesterday the caller was saying, you know, that the contents of the song was not what she was so concerned about, but the presentation, how they presented the song at these churches. And, you know, there have been meaningless songs written through the years. I mean, all the songs in the old, you know, all the old songs were not anointed. You know, you think of
give me some examples.
Life's Railway to Heaven.
It's one of my dad's favorites. Life is like a mountain railroad.
And come home, it's supper time. The shadows lengthen fast. You know what I mean? And, you know, even Precious Memories. Precious Memories. How they linger, how they ever flood my soul. Now, what does that have to do with exalting God, Darren?
People cry.
Well, that's true.
No, but you know what I say? Now, I'm going to pick on one specifically. On Summerall's network, they have, and I think it's probably Summerall's grandsons or great-grandsons that are doing this, but they have what's called Studio B. Now, I've listened to that, and here are the guys here. They got ragtag clothes on. Just like the world. And I would say this to you, if you turned the sound off, would you know whether that was a worldly rock band or would you know whether it's a Christian band?
Well, you don't even have to turn the sound off. Some of the songs they're playing are...
If you just look at the visuals, say, you know, what have we got here? These guys have holes in their knees. They've got the baggy pants down. And they look like the world, is my point. I'm saying, why do we have... Well, some people would say, well, you got to look like the world to attract the world. Now, wait a minute. Where's the power of the gospel here? And I don't think that we have to look like the world and sound like the world to attract the world. The world's trying to escape the world. They're trying to say, give me a better option. We've got a better option.
So why is Christian music being attacked? Why does the devil really enjoy coming in and messing up Christian music? And we were talking about that today before we came to the studio. And in Isaiah 14, it talks about Lucifer and how Lucifer was the bright star of the morning, son of the dawn. He woke up everyone with praise and worship. He was the pomp and the music. Music was in him. He was the worship leader in heaven. So why, when he fell, when God says, I brought you down to hell, maggots are spread out as your bed, how you have fallen, O star of the morning, because of pride in his heart. Well, certainly he would have attacked the music first of all. Music opens the heart to the word of God being preached. So why shouldn't he attack the music?
Or whatever message you have, it opened your heart.
Absolutely.
Way.
Listen to some of these songs that have been, oh, okay. Well,
before
you've
we
got
into that, let's
call.
Take, we got a live one here. Let's take it. Hello, Judith.
Hello.
How are you doing?
Good.
What can we do for you?
Just want to comment on church music.
All right. Go for it.
I dislike the repetition of some of the praise music that just you say the same thing over and over again, and then you get a verse sung, and then they start all over and sing the whole. I feel like I'm retarded. I have to hear it over and over again.
Mm, especially if it is not exalting God. And, you know, there are songs that you can exalt God and you can do it, you know, like Jehoshaphat did, you know, singing praises to God for his mercy endureth forever. And you can do that over and over again. But there are some songs, I agree with you, there's no redemptive value in them.
Wait a minute. Do you feel retarded when you go or when you go home?
I don't care for all the repetition.
Oh.
But I love the hymnals. I mean, the hymnals, some of them hymns are sermons in themselves.
Yes.
And they're very uplifting.
Well, thank you.
I was raised with a hymnal, and when I got to college music course, they used the word hymnody. And I realized that a lot of the hymns taught me my theology.
Mm-hmm. They do.
Exactly.
They do.
You know what I'm talking about, don't you?
Yes.
I do.
They do. Well, thank you for your comments. I really appreciate
it. What else do you have to say about the new music?
Oh, well, I wouldn't go to a church that played it.
Okay.
Do you?
So you go to a church where the music is from the hymnal?
Well, some hymns, and then there are some praise music.
Okay.
And we do have a guitar player and so forth, but I have a comment on praise teams, too. I mean, they're like cheerleaders at a football game sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
Is it ego or is it praise?
If you do that at home, you know, like you do on the stage, then I would call that, you know, glorifying God.
Well, I think what it is it's called the Look at Me Praise Team.
Yep. I do, too.
Watch me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I would prefer a choir.
Uh-huh. And some churches still do have their choirs, which is good.
Yes.
Well, thank you.
Well,
thank
do you take so much. Earplugs to your church?
No, I don't need them.
She enjoys her church.
Okay.
Well, thank you, Judith.
All right, Judith. God bless you. Are you on our mailing list?
I don't know.
Well,
I get one of your mailings now and then.
Okay, well, then you're on our mailing list.
Okay,
all right,
perfect.
Judith. God bless you.
Bye.
Well, you know,
even
in our hymnals, we have songs that aren't anointed. I mean, I was raised with hymnals, and there were songs that were not anointed. But let me tell you, there are some songs nowadays that really glorify God. And remember the song in the 80s, El Shaddai, El Yonda Adonai. Age to age, he's still the same. Now, by the power of his name, oh, what a glorious song, contemporary. To God be the glory, Andrew Crouch. To God be the glory. I will bless thee, O Lord, with a song of thanksgiving. I will bless thee, O Lord. Jesus, we crown you with praise, Lanny Wolf. You're more wonderful than my, you know, the words can even say, Lanny Wolf. Be exalted, O Lord, above the heavens. Composers like Lenny LeBlanc, Michael W. Smith, Israel Houghton, Ron Canole, there are songs like There Is None Like You. I have a song in front of me, one of the favorites of the last 5 years. Above all powers, above all kings, above all nature and all created things, above all wisdom and all the ways of man, you were here before the world began. Above all kingdoms, above all thrones, above all wonders the world has ever known, above all wealth and treasures of the earth, there's no way to measure what you're worth. Crucified, oh, I love this song. I can't turn the page. Crucified, laid behind the stone, you lived to die, rejected and alone. Like a rose trampled on the ground, you took the fall and thought of me above all. Now, that's a description of Jesus that Lenny LeBlanc wrote, and it became a favorite of the church.
Now, who wrote that one you quoted a while ago, There's None Like You?
Lenny LeBlanc. There is none. There is none like you.
Oh, that is the one I'm thinking about. I'm thinking about the black guy that wrote that one song that, I'll let that go.
And then there's songs like God is Good All the Time. I love those kind of songs.
Who wrote that one?
Don Moen. And then Chris Tomlin has come up recently. He's a composer that has just impressed the church world with his songs. And we've sung several of them in our meetings. But David started it all, Darren, with, like Psalm 34. Listen to this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble will hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. These are the kind of songs we want to sing.
You know, I find it very interesting. I'm watching you here in the studio. You start reading that and you throw your hands up in the air.
You can't help it.
I mean, it's automatic. There's something in your spirit that just wants to raise your hands and praise the Lord.
Now, what concerns me is that what started this whole thing was the fact that Matthew Murray went to two different ministries and shot four people to death. And do you know what kind of music he was listening to, Darren? I mean, it was acid rock, guttural, demonic. He was listening to the Ozzy Osbournes. And you know, that man is the most foul-mouthed man. And there's nothing redeeming about him. Now, what Christian parents are going to allow their children to listen to music like that rather than music like Lenny LeBlanc and Andre Crouch and Ron Canole and Israel Houghton?
But you know, I have to defend them in a sense. If you don't know what the kid's listening to on his headset and he's got earphones on, you may not know. And unless you're really an investigative parent, you may not know.
Well, let's be investigative parents, because I knew what my children were listening to it all the time. In fact, I'd go and I'd say, well, let me listen to it. I'd take their headphones off their ears. Well, let me listen to what you're listening to. And I was doing that all the time. And you raise them to honor God, first of all, when they're small. And you raise them to know that you love Jesus with all your heart, soul, and mind, and you want to please him with all your heart, soul, and mind. You don't want to listen to the Ozzy Osbournes.
You know, there's something else you have to do, too, and I believe that you have to bring accountability. And I believe you need to say to your kids, listen, the buck stops here.
Mm-hmm.
Your dad or your mom's going to check you out, because we don't want you getting off the track.
That's right.
And so we're drawing some boundaries here. You may not like it, but as long as you're under my roof, you're gonna go with it,
mm-hmm.
because I happen to be the boss.
What I really appreciated about the writings of David, almost every one of them, he starts out with praise and worship on almost every psalm. First of all, he starts out. Then he goes into his singular situation. Like here, I was quoting Psalm 34. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. He goes on to say, now this is what condition he was in. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him. Now, when you talk about a poor man, he must have had some issues going on. And he said, he saved me out of all my troubles. And then he goes into praise again. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. Now, what's wrong with the Ozzy Osbourne songs and this acid rock is that, Darren, their prime subjects, their main subjects, are usually about murder, about suicide, about detrimental things that
about
happen.
Sex and perversion.
Yes, and society is putting them down, and they're calling them worthless. And so you listen to this kind of song over and over and over again. You talk about repetition. It gets into our children's minds and hearts, and they become those songs. And I remember Eminem, he was talking about raping and killing women. And he was a millionaire. Kids are buying his music. What's going on? I mean, and not only kids in the secular world, but I believe a lot of Christian are listening to this junk. It's absolute junk. And parents, you got to wake up. You got to wake up to what your children are listening to.
Well, one of the arguments I have with a lot of the teen worship leaders and so on is that they have the same look. They say, well, we want to look like the world. And I think about Jim Baker's son. He got all tattooed up because he says, I've got to just relate to these kids. You know, I don't believe you have to go that far. I believe that you can talk the talk and the kids will be attracted. And they want to know, are you real? Not are you a real phony.
Mm-hmm.
Are you real? And I don't believe that we have to make sure that our pants are sagging and bagging and the knees are out and all this kind of stuff.
And we've got those huge plugs in our ears. Now that's the trend.
I don't believe that.
That is so sad, because we're going to look like some tribes. And if they say, well, we're going to go to the tribes. But what happened to these early missionaries that went to these tribes that didn't have any of the plugs in their ears and the tattoos and the piercings? They won the people. I love what the caller said yesterday. Totally on the value of the word of God. Darren, it's the word of God that's going to come through.
Well, here, if you want to get in on this conversation, 1-866-917-7256. Maybe you don't agree with this. Maybe you have some kids and they've convinced you that everything's cool and the way they're doing it is the way to go. And if you want to call in, you certainly can. It's toll free to you, 1-866-917-7256. Believe me, we'd like to hear from you.
I remember the other day I was standing to get some coffee. And in front of me was a girl with dreadlocks. I didn't want to get within 2 feet. And you know why?
Now explain to me what a dreadlock is.
Dreadlock is they braid the hair and then they don't wash it for a month or two or three. I mean, the dreadlocks are actually done by a person and you don't have to wash it. It's just...
Oh, nice. Did you see anything moving in there?
Yes, I did. And that's why I didn't
want...
And that's why I said, you know, there's one thing about being faddish in, you know, contemporary style. It's another thing to be dirty. And that's exactly what the devil wants young people to be. He wants them to be the scum of the earth. That's what the devil is, you know.
They want her to be grungy.
Yeah.
And dress that way and look that way and talk that way.
Yes, because Isaiah, we'll go back to Isaiah 14, how Lucifer fell because of his pride. And it says, worms are your covering and maggots are spread out as your bed beneath you. How you have fallen from heaven. And when we leave Jesus, when we leave the things of God, that happens. We live with the maggots. We live with the cockroaches. You know, we live in the dirt.
It reminds me of that article you read the other day where this woman went to a beauty shop. She was going to have her hair washed, and a tick fell out in the sink. Well, you'd wonder, now, how'd that happen? You know, we're talking about real things here. And, folks, I believe that we need to wake up and look at this, some of this music, and say, does this glorify God or does it glorify me?
Yes.
Is it pushing for the flesh or is it pushing the spirit?
That's right.
And I believe there's a great, great difference. I really do. I believe that with all my heart, that there's a real difference between glorifying myself or the worship leader or glorifying God. And you don't have to be university educated, seminary educated to know the difference.
Well, it's better if you aren't.
It's
better if you're not. But that's how worship music really started, with praising and adoration to God, not praising and adoration to humans. And this bless me, you know, we even have heard of this church in the Denver area that says, bless.
It's 1-800-BLESS-ME.
1-800-BLESS-ME. And Darren, that just turns me cold. Yes, we know that when we serve God, we're going to be blessed. We read that. We read about that in the Word of God. But in no way, shape, or form do we take the place of God in that.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy in